Right, good morning, church. Shalom to you. Bless you in the name of Jesus. And I'm glad to be back. All right, we will read this text for the sermon. And if you have Bible with you, please turn with me to the books of Hebrew, chapter 12, verse 26 to verse 28, please. So, please turn to the book of Hebrews, chapter 12, verse 26 to verse 28. Are you there? Alright, Hebrews chapter 12, verse 26. He says, "Whose voice then shook the earth, but now he has promised, saying, yet once more I shake not only the earth, but also heaven." Now this "yet once more" indicates the removal of things that are being shaken as of things that are made, that the things which cannot be shaken may remain. Therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom which cannot be shaken, let us have grace by which we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. For our God is a consuming fire. And then the next text is taken from Luke chapter 21. I will read from verse 25 and then to 28. Luke, the Gospel of Luke chapter 21, reading from verse 25. "And there will be signs in the sun, in the moon, and in the stars, and on the earth, distress of nation," that's my emphasis, "distress of nation, with perplexity, the sea and the waves rolling, men's heart failing them from fear and expectation of those things which are coming on the earth. For the powers of the heavens will be shaken, and then they will see the Son of God, Son of Man, coming in cloud with power and great glory. Now, these things begin to happen. Look up and lift up your heads, because your redemption draws near." And then the last text is taken from Matthew chapter 24, verse 4 to verse 8, please. Verse 4 says, when Jesus was asked about the end days, and verse 4, Jesus answered and said to them, "Take heed that no one deceives you, for when many will come in my name, saying that I am Christ, and will deceive many, and you will hear of wars and rumors of war, and see that you are not troubled, for these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nations will rise against nations, and kingdoms against kingdom, and there will be famines, pestilences and earthquakes in various places. All these are the beginnings of sorrow." And then this ends the reading. So let us pray. Father, we come to you in the mighty name of your Son, Jesus. Lord, as we go into this new year, 2026, Lord, we just look to you for your word. And because your word will sustain us, your word will prepare us. So this morning, you open the scripture for us to understand, illuminate the scripture, that we may have revelation of the things to come. And so I pray for the anointing, Lord, of you to come upon me to deliver your word, that every word and come forth from my mouth, Lord, will impart your knowledge and your revelation unto your people. Lord, it will impart life and spirit. And I pray the people who are here, Lord, will receive the anointing, Lord, to be receptive to what you have said. That every word that is deposited in their heart, Lord, will encourage, will lift up their faith, will cause them to grow, to be more and more like Jesus. And that they will, Lord, pursue you and not the temporal things of the world. And so this morning, Holy Spirit, come to magnify the Father and the Son. And in Jesus' name, and God's people say, amen. Amen. Church, is good to be back from my holiday break, New Year break, and good to see every one of you here. Now, though this is already the third Sunday of the new year, but this is my first sermon for 2026. And so, before I went on the holiday, I was seeking the Lord, and I felt that I need to deliver this message as a new year message for 2026 for our church. Now, in 2025, we saw unprecedented rising tension, instability, and uncertainty globally. And as we step into 2026, the question that we want to ask from the Lord is, what will be the trajectory? And this I have to say, 2026 will see more turbulences, more shaking, and more deception. And so the years ahead of us will test our foundation more than ever before. As I said, I sought the Lord before the new year, and this was the key message. It's already happening in the first 2 weeks of the new year. You see the turbulences and the shaking in Venezuela, and then later followed by Iran, and now potentially Greenland. And who knows what is next to come? What will hold when everything else begins to shake? And yet, the scripture tells us that this should not surprise us. The Bible never promised a calm world in the last days. The issue is not whether the world will shake. The issue is whether we are anchored. And that is why Hebrews 12:26 says, yet once more, I shake not only the earth, but also the heaven. And what you see currently is mainly the shaking of the earth, but that you will see more shaking also in the heaven. Now notice this, that God does not say that the world will shake. He says, I will shake. And so throughout the scripture, shaking always precedes the revealing. God shook Egypt to reveal His power. And God shook Mount Sinai before He revealed His law and holiness. And then God also shook Jerusalem to reveal and then to later birth off the church. And so now in our time, God is shaking the world to reveal something in time to come. And there are moments in history when people feel unsettled. And then there are seasons when the ground beneath us move. Systems that we trusted no longer feel secure. And then political institutions, once stable, are faltering. And then moral absolute, once clear, are being distorted. Truth itself, once universally recognized, is now treated as subjective. And we are living in such a moment. And so Hebrews 12 reminds us that the shaking is not accidental. God said, yet once more I shake. Not because He has lost control, but because He is asserting it. The shaking we see today is not merely political, technological, economic, social, or environmental. It is also spiritual. And God is shaking what can be shaken, so that what cannot be shaken will remain. Hebrews 12:27. Let me give you an illustration. When the earthquake hits, the building don't fall because of the shaking alone. They fall because their foundations are weak. So in the same way, God is shaking or using this shaking to separate the temporary from the eternal, the superficial from the genuine, and the compromise from the committed. So He shakes for security so that His people will be awakened and cling on to Him alone. The world is shaking, but God is not silent. In this shaking, God is calling His church to listen, to stand firm, and to proclaim hope. So let me now describe the six major trembles of the shaking of our time. Not with fear, but with biblical understanding. First, economic instability. When mammon trembles, meaning the monetary system trembles. Consider the headlines: inflation, unstable financial market, spiraling national debt, and cost of living pressure. The global economic system is groaning under unprecedented pressure. Many nations are drowning in debt. In the US, the national debt has surpassed $38 trillion. Inflation erodes purchasing power. We all experience it. Things are getting much more expensive. They are not just small incremental, but they are significant. Tariff war, trade war, tech war. These wars unsettle the market. What once looked stable now looks fragile. Many families feel the cost of living pressure, the pinch at the grocery shop, the petrol stations, and the mortgage payment. And people are anxious, wondering if their saving will last or if their pension will hold. And for decades, the world believed that economic growth and prosperity could save them. But Scripture reminds us that the mammon, the monetary system, is a cruel master. And when economy shakes, God exposes the illusion that money can provide security. Those who trust in their riches will fall, said in Proverbs 11:28. Now, God is not against provision, but He is against false confidence. So, economic shaking reveals where our trust truly lies. So, Hebrews 12 reminds us that only what is rooted in God's kingdom is unshakable. Everything else, market, currency, economic systems, they are fragile. So the shaking is a mercy call. It calls God's people back to a deeper reliance of Him and not on money, stocks, or possession. The second, shaking or tremors, AI technology is accelerating. Creation is challenging the Creator. Now, Daniel prophesies in Daniel chapter 12, verse 4, that says that in the last days, knowledge shall increase. Put it in other words, knowledge shall explode. And for centuries, this verse seems mysterious. Today, it is undeniable. Knowledge is indeed exploding. AI is accelerating the knowledge explosion. Automation, surveillance, decision-making and control. What once required human judgment is now being handed more and more to the AI machine. And industry is shifting. More jobs disappear. Ethics disappear or blur. Regulation can't keep up with technology. Now, AI per se is not evil. But ungoverned technological power become dangerous. What human tries to redefine intelligence, authority, and autonomy apart from God, we repeat the same ancient temptation. You will be like God. Just like Adam and Eve were tempted, He said, if you take this fruit, the knowledge of good and evil, you will be like God. And so this is repeated in the AI revelation. And at the same time, the AI stock bubble is forming. Massive AI investment, inflated expectation, and dependence on the system that we barely understand. And like every bubble in history, it will burst. When it does, the shaking will be economic, social, and moral, revealing how deeply we trusted our own creation. The Bible warns us of the final world system where economic control, technology, and deception converge. And it says that no one may buy or sell except one who has mark of the beast. A system that is so pervasive that participation becomes necessary to survive. Now, the scripture does not say that the technology is the beast, but it does show a world where system enable unprecedented control. And AI makes this more possible than any generation before us. So surveillance, digital identity, algorithmic governance, and automated enforcement. Now, these are no longer theory. They are becoming reality before our eyes. And that is why God allows the shaking. Mankind believes that AI can promise God-like ability, omniscient, omnipresence and omnipotence. But these attributes only belong to God alone. So hence, God will shake our pride in human knowledge, the same desire to become like God in the Garden of Eden. God is exposing the fragility of the system built out of pride without Him. Technology is not the enemy, but unrestrained technology without God becomes a new Babel, built for self-glory, reaching for control, and destined to collapse. But God is not silent. He called His people to humility and discernment, to remember that no machine, however intelligent, can replace the Creator. And so in this hour, the church must not fear technology nor worship it, but walk in wisdom, discernment, and allegiance to Christ. When everything is shaken, only what that is rooted in God will remain. And then the third tremor, deception and lies are now normalized and hard to discern. And so deception today is not hiding in the shadow. It is being normalized. AI deep seek technology further blur the line between truth and illusion. So we see images, videos, voices, and entire narrative can now be fabricated in seconds. And with AI growing sophistication, discerning what is authentic is now becoming far more difficult. And people are being scammed by video that look real, voices that sound genuine, and website that feel authentic. So, falsehood spread faster than ever before because of digital technology. So digital lies move like wildfire, unchecked, unfiltered, and often questioned. Jesus already warned us that deception would intensify in the last day. That is why when He was asked about the last day, He says, "Take heed that no one deceives you." The scripture is clear, Satan is the father of lies. John 8:44. And Paul commands us, put off falsehood and speak truthfully. Ephesians 4:25. Deception may be normal in the world, but it must never become normal in the church. And God is not silent in this hour. He shakes us to awaken us. He calls His people to love truth, pursue wisdom, and walk in the light. Shaking does something vital. It exposes what is false so that the truth can clearly stand. And the fourth tremor, nations are divided. Now order give way to chaos. You have rising geopolitical tension. Jesus already plainly warned us. You will hear wars and rumors of wars. Nations will rise against nation. You may say, though, this has been happening for many centuries. The difference is now the intensity and the frequency has increased. That is the point. And we see it unfolding before our naked eyes. Ukraine bleeds under invasion. The Middle East trembles with various conflict. Recently, Venezuela faced invasion. And new threats are emerging against Greenland and several South American nations. And of course, the latest is Iran. And now, United States moved the aircraft carrier from the South China Sea into the Middle East. The world is on the edge to find out what comes next. If a war erupts there, it may spread into various Middle East countries. So we can see that regional wars have intensified and internal fracture destabilize nations from within. Not only in the Middle East, but it's also happening in the superpower like USA. You have heard of the ICE raid, so on and so forth, generating lots of internal protests. International law once respected are no longer, or rather, are now ignored, and treaties are being broken. And so the rule of law is giving way to the law of the jungle, meaning might makes right. Doesn't matter what is right and wrong, if I'm powerful, whatever I do is right. This is the meaning of might is makes right. The world is witnessing the erosion of law and moral restraint on the global stage. Raw power now defines justice. Strength replaces righteousness. But the scripture told us that this would come. Jesus says, see to it that you are not alarmed. The end is still to come. When humanity rejects God's authority, order eventually collapses. Peace cannot survive without truth, and harmony cannot exist without righteousness. And so God shakes our mistrust or misplaced trust in government and global system so that we'll cling on to his eternal reign. Prophesies in Isaiah chapter 9, verse 7, he said, of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end. Nations may rage, but Christians, or Christ rather, remains the Prince of Peace. And so even now, God is not silent. The shaking of nations remind us that no earthly kingdom is permanent. Only God's kingdom will endure. That is why the scripture says in Hebrews 12, verse 28, we are receiving a kingdom which cannot be shaken. And then the fifth tremble. Truth is being redefined. The foundations are being removed. Today's culture treats truth as relative, flexible, and negotiable. Absolutes are being mocked. Moral clarity is dismissed as intolerance. Isaiah, the prophet, described our times with chilling accuracy. He says, woe to those who call evil good and good evil, who put darkness for light and light for darkness. Isaiah chapter 5. Verse 20, relativism has become the new orthodoxy. Feelings outranks facts. Narrative replaced reality. And when truth is redefined, confusion always follows. But God's word does not shift with culture. His truth is not voted, it stands when every other foundations crumble. And so shaking will expose what is built on sand. When everything feels uncertain, God is calling his people to stand again, firmly, confidently on the unchanging word of God. And then the sixth tremble, natural disasters are intensifying. Creation is groaning. The earth is shaking. Fires rage. Floods inundate towns, earthquake break foundation, cyclone tear through coastline, increasing heat wave and rising seas, and unpredictable storms are becoming the new norm. And Romans 8:22 says to us this would happen. He says the whole creation has been groaning. Creation groans because this world is broken. But groaning is not the end. This is the prelude to the full redemption and Christ's return. Yet as disaster grew more frequent and intense, many of us have become insensitized or numb to it. That's the problem. But God is using this shaking to remind us the earth is temporal and this is not our final home. Jesus warned there will be earthquakes, famines and pestilences. The shaking is not random. It is a trumpet call, a warning, a mercy call. A reminder that the Creator still speaks through wind and wave, fire and flood. So when the earth shakes, let our hearts be awakened. Let our life be anchored not in sand, but in the unshakable rock of Jesus Christ. Now, what about within the church? What is God shaking in the church? Let me plainly say this. Not everything labeled as Christian is unshakable. Many believers want God's promises without God's process and God's ways of doing things. But shaking removes that illusion. And in a time of shaking, God is exposing the foundation. And the first thing He shakes within the church is false security. It means trusting in external circumstances and temporal things, like wealth, status, or even religious ritual, rather than in God in Himself. So what can be shaken? When trials come, these external supports collapse. The house that is built on the sand will fall, and great will be its fall. Matthew 7:27. False security is false confidence in things that are temporal. When trials come, those external supports crumble. So systems built on fragile things cannot withstand the storm. So for example, when a person feels safe because life is comfortable, may find that their confidence is shattered when suffering or loss strike. God shakes false security not to destroy us, but to wake us up that we may build on the eternal. And then second shaking internally in the church, cultural Christianity. Cultural Christianity looks like Christian. It is faith by association, not by personal conviction or devotion. They think that they are Christian because of tradition, because of family or society norms. They may go to church on Easter, Christmas, or one or two other events. And so it is not based on personal conviction and relationship with Christ. And these people know the Christian lingo, the language, celebrate the holiday and host the labor. So it is like a lip service without a heart surrender. And Jesus said that these people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. So cultural Christianity thrives in environment where faith is often socially convenient. But when the culture shift and persecution comes, nominal belief often crumbles. It disappears when faith becomes very costly. So for example, when someone who attends church only because that is what their family or their spouse do, and then they will abandon their faith when it becomes unpopular or becomes very costly. And then the third thing that God will shake within the church is what I call the prosperity gospel. Can sum it as God is my genie gospel. This gospel promises God's blessing, wealth, success and health, can be claimed without surrender. They call it crowns without crosses. It focuses on what God can do for you, but avoids what God requires from you. Jesus says that if you love me, you will keep my commandments. Prosperity, divorced from obedience, turned God into a genie not the king or the Lord. And therefore, an entitlement-based faith collapses because it cannot endure hardship when it comes. When suffering comes, and it will, this faith is shaken and disillusionment sets in. God shake it because he wants disciple, not consumer. Example, a person who expects God to secure financial success may walk away when faced with suffering or lack or sickness. The fourth thing that he was shaken internally, faith that is built on feelings, not truth. This type of faith relies on emotional high, spiritual experiences or good vibes instead of the unchanging truth of the scripture. Why it can be shaken? Because feeling fluctuates. When emotions fade or circumstances feel dry, faith rooted in feeling also falters. Feeling fluctuates, but truth does not. The scripture says, we walk by faith and not by sight. God is shaking emotional Christianity so that our faith rests on what it is written, not what I feel. So for example, a believer who equates God's presence only with emotional excitement may feel abandoned during seasons of silence, even though God remains faithful. And then the fifth area of shaking internally, Christianity without repentance. It may be the most dangerous faith of all. It offers grace without conviction, love without correction. And remember that the first word of the gospel is repent, not believe. Jesus often said, repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. A gospel without repentance is not good news at all. It is deception. When shaking comes, hidden sin is exposed and unrepentant lives collapse. God shakes the church because he loves us too much to leave us unchanged. So, next question, what can not be shaken? Hebrews 12:27 says, tell us that God allows shaking so that what cannot be shaken may remain. When everything else falls, God shows us what is eternal. The first is the word of God. Isaiah chapter 40 verse 8 says, the grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God stands forever. Everything in this world is temporary. Human opinion shift, headline change daily, trend fade, culture change. But God's word does not age, weaken, or lose relevance. God's word still declare what is right, what is wrong, and what is true, and what leads to eternal life. In a shaking world, the word of God remains the one foundation that never cracks. When shaking comes, those anchored in scripture stand firm. Not because they are strong, but because God's word is strong. Matthew 24:35 says, heaven and earth will pass away, but my word will never pass away. The second thing that cannot be shaken is the kingdom of God. We are receiving a kingdom which cannot be shaken. Hebrews 12:28. Earthly kingdom rise and fall. Empire come and go. Government change. But the kingdom of God has no expiry date. Yet God's kingdom is not built on human strength. It is built on his sovereignty. It is established by the Almighty God, the creator of heaven and the earth, the creator of the universe. God has no equal. There is none like him. His kingdom cannot be toppled, infiltrated, or overthrown. When everything else collapses, his kingdom remains unshakable and unshaken. If you belong to Christ, you belong to a kingdom that cannot be shaken. The third area that cannot be shaken is the character of God. Hebrews 13:8, scripture says, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. God is faithful whether the market rise or fall. He does not change his circumstances. His goodness is not seasonal. His faithfulness is not dependent on global stability. When life is uncertain, his character is not. He remains steadfast, the same yesterday, today, and forever. Steady and trustworthy. What is the purpose of the shaking? Give you an illustration. Now, a storm does not uproot a deeply rooted tree. It reveals which tree has shallow roots. Likewise, the shaking we are experiencing does not destroy true faith. It reveals it. Those rooted in the Word of God, the Kingdom of God, the unchanging character of God, will not merely survive in the shaking, they will stand as a testimony to others. And so, there's a call for discernment has never been greater. When asked about the end times, Jesus' first warning, as I said, was not famine, was not war, was or persecution. He said, take heed that no one deceives you. It was deception, not atheism, not hostility, and not external pressure. Why deception? Because deception works inside the church, not outside it. Some modern deception that we face today and trying to infiltrate within the church, truth, they say, is relative. Or God just wants you to be happy. Or they say that all spiritual path leads to the same God. Blessings, they say, always means God's approval. If you feel right, it must be right. These are lies that sounds appealing, but they're corrosive. They distort the scripture and replace God's truth with sentiment. Now, poison is rarely served in an obvious cup. Deception is like a poison being mixed with sweetness so that it can be swallowed. Thirdly, deception will increase, but discernment must deepen. We need discernment. Discernment is not suspicion, it is biblical wisdom. Discernment is the spirit and power ability to recognize the truth that is wrapped in an error, or scripture that is quoted out of context. And so we have a new year call for 2026. 2026 cannot be a year of shallow Bible reading. The church must move from emotional Christianity to scriptural Christianity. Move from sentiment-led faith to a word-led faith. What is the application for us, or the question for us? Ask yourself, do I know the scripture well enough to recognize error? Do I test what I hear, even when I want it to be true? Do I measure sentiment experiences by scripture, or scripture by sentiment? Colossians chapter 2, verse 6 to verse 7 say, as you therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in Him, rooted and built in Him. As we enter 2026, God is calling His people, number one, be rooted in Him and His Word. Roots grow downwards, quietly, deeply, unseen. But shallow faith seeks visibility. Rooted faith seeks depth and stability. And so this year, grow deeper roots in God's words, in prayer life, in obedience, and in righteousness. And then number two, be ready. Be spiritually awake. Be prayerful and watchful. Jesus said, watch and pray. Readiness is a spiritual alertness, not panic, not obsession, but awareness of what is going on in the world in relation to what is written in the Bible. As is for this reason, many of the current events that are highlighted in the world. So in this sermon, I have highlighted it to you in relation to the Bible. So watch and pray. Grow in prayer, both in personal and corporate prayer life. A ready church is not distracted by trend, by fads. It's not asleep in compromise. And it's not confused about the truth. And then thirdly, be resilient. Means be faithful under pressure. You will face pressure, but you need to remain faithful under pressure. Resilience is faith that holds under pressure. Paul declares, we are hard-pressed on every side, yet not crushed. And so 2026 will test our endurance. So I ask, on behalf of you all, of this church, that God will supply us the grace of endurance. In closing, this year we're exposed. What we say we trust versus what we actually lean on. Shallow Christianity cannot survive the shaking. Borrowed faith cannot survive the pressure. Second-hand conviction cannot survive the storm. Only anchored faith in Christ, truly anchored faith in Christ, will remain. So I have a prophetic pastoral charge for all of you for 2026. Church, do not fear the shaking. Fear being unprepared for it. Do not chase comfort. Chase Christ, because He is our greatest treasure. We sang this song that Christ is our greatest treasure. And so this is a year not for entertainment-driven faith. Feel-good message. It needs to be word-based message. This is a year for truth-driven discipleship, rooted in God and His Word, ready and resilient in a world that is being shaken. To be forewarned is to be forearmed. So I hope that this sermon has blessed you and you are mentally prepared for the year ahead of us. Thank you. The Lord bless you.